Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus chapter 4. This passage of scripture is, of course, the story of Moses. And Moses is given the call from God, given the mission from God to go and to lead the people out of Egypt. And, of course, we see this encounter that he has with God and the conversation which they have back and forth. If you would, look with me in verse number 1 here in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither herefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight, fill me with your Holy Spirit, clear me of any distractions within my mind. Lord, even the distractions that are around us, may you help us, our hearts to be focused tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd search our hearts tonight. Help us to expect great things from you. Help us to expect you to speak to us. May we search our hearts for any sin that might exist and hold us back from you using us, speaking to us, working within us. Lord, may your word be clear to our understanding. May your word do the speaking, the preaching, the convicting tonight. Lord, may you remove me and every part of me, all of self. Lord, I ask and pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here in Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 2, the phrase, after when the Lord begins to speak, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand?" If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I would mark that phrase, "What is in thine hand?" You see, Moses, at this point in his life, had not yielded his life to God by letting go of everything in his life. He had not completely removed every earthly desire from his life and gave complete and total focus on Christ. I'm not saying that Moses hadn't become sinless, because it's impossible for us to become sinless. But Moses had not completely and fully yielded every area of his life. And when I look at this section in this description of Moses and what the Bible says concerning him, I think of the Christian also. And the question which is asked by God to Moses, "What is in thine hand?" The question can be asked to the Christian also, "What is in your hand that you've not given to God? What is in our hands that we've not given back to God? What is it that is holding us back from God using us to our fullest? What is it that is in our life that we have not fully yielded to God for?" We want to see the Lord do revival. We want to see God do great things through this church. The church is God's people. But if God's people don't yield to God as they should in every part of their life, then they cannot be used to their fullest. Sadly, many Christians won't yield everything to God because they want to keep things in their own hands rather than to put them in God's hands. What I'm trying to tell you is that when we put what we have, all our positions, all of our family, every part of our life, we put it all in God's hands, there's no telling what God can do through our life. There's no telling what God can do within this church. You see, after all that God has given us, the least that we can do is give back to Him. But yet we only give so much. We only give certain things. And there are certain things within our lives, certain possessions, certain time periods of our day, certain times with our families, times with other relationships which we had, which we hold back. And rather than having anything to do with Christ, they're all completely surrounded around self. There's nothing to do with Christ. I want to talk with you tonight about this question: what is in your hand? What is in your hand? Three things that every Christian must put in God's hand. First, your possessions must be in God's hands. Your possessions must be in God's hands. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. When the question is asked, what is in thy hand? The response from Moses is what? And he said, a what? Rod. The possession which Moses had at this time was not a cell phone, was not some fancy clothing, was not anything more than a rod at that time. If you remember, the Lord had approached Moses at the time in which he was working, at the time in which he was shepherding. And when Moses went to wander after that sheep, he came upon that bush, and the Lord begins to encounter to him, speak to him. And the only thing which he has in possession of him at this time is that rod. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 20 about the same rod. The Bible asks, the question is asked, what is in thine hand? Moses' response is a rod. And in verse number 20, the Bible says and describes this rod as being something else. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of who? God. You see, the possession which was once Moses's, the possession which once belonged to Moses, now was God's. Now was completely in God's usability. Now Moses could be used to his fullest in this area of his life because his possession, his personal possession, had been given to the Lord. My question for you is, have your personal possessions in your life been given to God? Every time which you spend, every amount of time, the things which you do with your day-to-day life, the car which you own, the house which you own, the job which you work, the relationships which you have, the things in your everyday life, your possessions, the things that belong to you, the things that you personally own that if anyone else were to take, you would say, oh, that's stealing from me. Your possessions, have you given them to God? I mean, every one of them. Every single one of them. And I say, sadly, as Christians, once again, we hold them back. The Bible tells us of a transformation process that happens when we give our possessions. In verse number 3, the Bible says that Moses is told to cast his rod on the ground, and when he cast his rod on the ground, that it became a what? Serpent. There is a transforming process that happened. God transformed the original purpose of the rod into a whole nother thing. You see, what my point is there's no telling what God can do with your possessions when you give it to God, when you give it to Him. God will transform the use of what you once thought was yours, what you once thought had the capability of maybe doing one thing. God can use your possessions to do more than you can ever imagine. But it's our choice on whether or not we're going to give them back to Him. There was a transforming process which took place. God can transform the original purpose of your possessions if you choose to give them to Him. God can use, we see in this passage, some of the most insignificant things to accomplish His will. Some of the things that we wouldn't imagine that had any other use for. When I think of some insignificant things or a small amount of things, I think of the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The transforming process took place when he chose to give of what he had. When I think of something small or insignificant, I think of the 5 smooth stones and the small young man whom God used to defeat a giant. When I think of something small and significant and insignificant, I think of Gideon and the battle which he had with just trumpets and pitchers to take down the walls of an entire city. My point is, you may not have much or you may have a whole lot, But whatever you have, is it given to God? There's no telling what God can use you to do with your own, with your possessions, which you own. I want you to understand that not only is there a transforming process that happens when we give of our possessions, but there's a discomfort that will take place when you give of your possessions. In verse 3, and at the end of verse 3, the Bible says this: it became a serpent and Moses fled from before it. You see, when the transforming process took place, it wasn't exactly something comforting. It wasn't exactly something that Moses wanted to see happen. In fact, it startled him. The first thing which he did was step away in fear. And the Bible tells us that God of all things, he tells him to, as the Bible says, verse 4, to put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And we see another point of discomfort when God was proving to him that the giving of his of what he had can have a transforming process. Remember, he took his hand, he put it into his bosom, the Bible says, into his coat, he pulled it out, and it literally became white as snow, leprous. Now, I almost wonder and can't help but help and imagine that he had felt even the pain for those few moments as he pulled out his hand and saw nothing but leprous. And maybe he even in instinct kept putting it in and out, but it was only when God had told him at the right time that it became back as normal flesh, as the Bible tells us. And you know, when we give of our own possessions, that first step of giving is sometimes a stepping out of our own comfort zone. It's not something we're exactly comfortable in doing. Oh, well, and that car which I have is brand new, and to use it on Saturday visitation, to use my gas and to put people in the back of it, it's a brand new vehicle. I don't think I really want to do that. Or to use my job as a witnessing opportunity, I don't really know if I want my boss and the other employees around me thinking of me any differently. Or some of us, maybe it's more individually in our own home. Well, use my television to watch only a select kind of movies? What about our possessions being given to God? My point is, there's no telling what God can do with your possessions and the ways in which you can use them to honor and glorify Him if you simply give them to Him. How much something as small we might think of or as insignificant as social media could be and a profile which we might have and a few statuses here and there, but how much we can accomplish when we give that to God and allow Him to use it. Of all the content which we post, the pictures, the statuses, is God the primary thing? Of all the things which we use our possessions to do, is God in the center of it? There's a transforming process which takes place. And let me tell you, when you choose to give the first time, at the first step, it's going to be a little discomforting. And as God had even told Moses the same, to pick up that serpent, I don't know about you, but if I saw a rod turn into a snake and then was expected to pick it up, I would still yet hesitate. And I can't imagine that Moses probably did the same, because he had already fled in fear and likely stepping far away and picking that thing up and seeing it turn back into a rod. What a miracle. Seeing his hand turn back into regular flesh, what a miracle. There's no telling what God can do when you give what you have back to Him. Opening your home up to others. You know, Pastors Preston, the past couple weeks or so, encouraging us as a church to open our home up to other church members, opening it up on maybe a Sunday afternoon. You say, well, I work 6 days a week. Will you come to church on Sunday? Maybe an opportunity to fellowship, to encourage. You know, I know for one thing, for a fact, when it comes to young people, there's a lot of young people who simply just come to church because they just need a little encouragement. They're looking for someone to love them. I know for a fact that there are families even within this church, and maybe very likely even some present here right now, who they're just kind of on their wit's end, it seems. How much we can accomplish when we give what God has given to us already, give it back to Him. How about giving our finances? Boy, what a hard area for even me to do at times. We're giving our finances towards missions, towards building progress. Where is our possessions in our own life? What is in your hands? You know, what it should be is how empty are your hands? But oftentimes we say, okay, well, I've got all my things over here, and God, you can have this, and you can have this, and you can have this, but these things are mine. And this is how we live our day-to-day life. And certain possessions we keep back to ourselves. Let me ask you, as a Christian, have you given every part of your life to Christ? Everything, every possession which you own, everything, is it Christ's first? Does he have first and full ownership? The effect of giving your possessions can be the same as what happened with Moses. The Bible says in verse number 8, there of chapter 4, verse number 8 and verse number 9, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee," he's talking about the children of Israel. He's saying, when you go to Egypt and you tell them that God has sent you, you're going to do these first two signs, these first two miracles. You're going to show them that this rod can turn into a serpent. You're going to show them that your hand will turn into leprosy. He says, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the latter sign. I want you to notice that phrase. He says, they will believe the latter sign. They don't believe, and some will, the first two signs, they will believe. And the Bible goes on to say in verse number 9, he says, "Take of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." See, God told Moses that putting his possessions in God's hands would make an impact on the others whom were around him. The effect which took place. It will cause others to believe. It will cause others to be drawn to Christ. It will cause others to be encouraged. Wow, look at what they have. It's not even theirs. It's all given to the Lord. Is your possessions given to God? There's a transforming process that can take place. The effect which it can have is tremendous. Every earthly possession which you own, every earthly possession. You know, we often think of ministry as just being that of in the church, but we have our own ministry in ourselves, in our neighborhood, in our own personal life. How do you use your own possessions to minister to others? The things which God has given you. How can you encourage? Even if it's something as simple as sending a text message now and again, sending an email to a missionary, sending an encouraging photo, sending an encouraging verse, sharing your testimony with somebody. There's endless possibilities which we can do with the possessions which we have. But our schedules become so confined in a set number of things, work so many hours, work with the same people, drive in the same car, go to the same place every day, go to the same church, sit in the same pew, talk to the same people. Have our possessions been so given to God that absolutely everything, church isn't the only ministry, but every part of our life is ministry. What's in your hands, Christian? I want you to notice another thing that should be put in God's hands is your family. Your family. Your family must be in God's hands. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 20 as we looked at just a moment ago. The Bible says after God has told Moses to go to Egypt that Moses, in verse 20, took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. You know, Moses guided his family to see that God was first in his life. He guided his family. Now, maybe there was a resistance. I don't know. Maybe his wife didn't want to leave home. Maybe his children did say, "Dad, I don't want to go." But you know what Moses did? And by the way, as a father, as a leader in the home, he helped to guide his family and show them the priority was Christ. He gave his family to God. Gave his family to God. What parts of our family? The Bible tells he gave his. It tells us that he gave his immediate family to God. God, his immediate family was in God's hands. In verse number 14 and 15, we see his relationship he has, his brother relationship which he has with Aaron. The Bible says in verse 14, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses," because remember, Moses was making excuses at this time. "But God told him, I will be with you," in verse number 12, "I will be with your mouth." And he says, because you're claiming that you do not have the correct speech to be able to speak before Pharaoh, he says, and the Lord's anger, and by the way, God's anger is always just. It was not an unjust anger. The Bible says that it was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite, thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put the words in his mouth." Notice that phrase, "put the words in his mouth, and he will be with thy mouth, and his mouth will teach you what ye shall do, and he shall be thy spokesman." You see, God used Moses to influence even his own immediate family, to help tell him what it is that he would say, how it is that he could serve the Lord, how they could serve the Lord together. And when we think of our immediate families, I'm not talking about necessarily your children or your wife or your husband at this point. Maybe your parents, your brother, your sister, maybe even some of your extended family. Are they in God's hands? Have you allowed them to be in God's hands in your life? Are you doing everything you can to reach out to them? Do they know that God comes first in your life, your family? Not only your immediate family, but your spouse in God's hands. The Bible says that Moses brought his wife. Does your spouse know that God comes first in your life? Husbands, does your spouse, your wife, does she know that Christ is first, even before her? Wives, does your husband know that Christ is first in their life as an individual? The time which they spend one another which you spend with one another as a married couple is very much important, but Christ must be first. Let me tell you, there is a point of as a family where you have a devotional time, you have a prayer time, you have a relationship with Christ together. But there's also a time where you should be having it individually. And knowing as a husband, knowing as a wife, help guiding one another, saying the priority is Christ. We both know. Hey, we have an opportunity a weekend. We've worked all week. Can we do one of two things? We can either go out and spend some time together, away from the kids maybe at an instance, or we can go to church, or we can go to soul winning together, or we can work in our own neighborhood. Maybe your schedule is different. You know, oftentimes when we talk about soul winning, people think of just Saturday soul winning, and Pastor Steve is trying to get us on Saturday. Once again, as I just mentioned to you earlier, ministry. You have a ministry in your own neighborhood, in your own life. How your ministry is laid out, I don't know. For some of you, you may only be able to minister in the evenings. For some of you, maybe a minister more in the day. For some of you, maybe you're retired. For some of you, I don't know. I don't know to what extent. Maybe your greatest outreach would be through the internet. But how are you ministering? Does your spouse know that? How about your children? The Bible says that Moses didn't just guide and lead his wife, but he also led his children into the land of Egypt. Do your children know, listen to me please, do your children know that God is first in your life? I mean, do they see that Christ is the priority? That before doing other things together as a family, we'll go to church. Before doing other things together as a family, we'll witness and spend all day witnessing if we have to before we even get to spend half of the vacation which we have together, because Christ is first in our life. Before we go to bed every night, or the time when we get up together every morning, we're going to spend in family devotions with one another. We're going to study and read God's Word. We're going to pray together as a family. Do your children know that Christ is the priority, that He is first? The Bible says that God is before all things. Remember, He's not just before all things literally, but He is to be in our own personal life, before everything. It's hard to even say that Christ would be first, because Christ doesn't have a place. He already is before all things. But is He in our own individual life? You see, for Moses, when the question was asked by God, what is in your hand, I think there was so much more that was being said there, because not only was it his own possessions which he had that he was using in his own way, but his family had not even yet been given to Christ. But when God had spoken to his heart and led him and directed him where he wanted to go, he brought his family together with him. There was a transformation process which took place. Did Moses become perfect? No. Will we become perfect when we do the same? No. But God can use us in greater ways than we can imagine when we yield all that we have to Him. Being willing to give up all other relationships and let God become your closest friend. Let me tell you, your children, your spouse, your extended family, your immediate family, whoever they might be, they should know that God is first in your life. Without a doubt. That's without hesitation. Children already know that dad makes it a priority. Mom makes it a priority. God is always first in their life. What is in your hands? Have you put your possessions? Have you put your family in God's? Have you allowed him to use them to their fullest, to use those things to their fullest? So not only do we see our possessions and our family, but your time must be in God's hands. I noticed something interesting in this passage, and here in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 20, the Bible tells us that Moses returns to the land of Egypt. And after returning all the way to Egypt, the Bible tells us that he goes to meet with his brother, Aaron. But he meets back at, the Bible calls it, the Mount of God in verse number 27. He meets back at Mount Horeb, the same place where the burning bush was. So what I'm saying is Moses went all the way over to Egypt, and from what it appears to be, he went back to be with Aaron, to meet up together. What I'm saying is when you give your time to God, when you give your time to God, is it limited? Do you just have certain times that you're going to give to Christ? I'm going to lead. I'm going to let God lead me for this amount of time. I'm going to read God's word until this time. Yes, we should have scheduled somewhat in our life, but do we schedule God? God should be such a first place in our life that it's so much part of our everyday life. We can't help but make him that priority, and it's so known in our life every time which we have. One of the primary reasons I think that Christians don't put their family, they don't put their possessions in God's hands, is because they only have a limited time for each of those things. They only have a limited time that they want to give those things to God. But if we truly gave our time to God without limits, once again, like as I'm telling you, there's no telling what God can do through your life. Our possessions, our family, our time. You know what Moses did when he came and finally doing what God had called him to do, to stand before Pharaoh? He didn't come before Pharaoh with anything, any suit of armor or any special talent, some supernatural power necessarily that God had given him. But he simply came with one thing and one thing only. He came with nothing more than the presence of God. He spoke in the authority of Christ. He spoke just as God had told him to do. And how many times God leads us to do things and we do things how we want to do instead of how God wants us to do. My point is this. Church, Westside Baptist Church, if we want to see God do something great through our lives, we've got to be willing to give every part of our life, yield everything, taking things out from our hands, putting them in God's hands, letting him have the control, letting him have the priority. May we live our life as Moses did, with nothing more than the presence of God being a first priority in our life. And so every head bowed and every eye closed.